Hello, we are here with Ryan, Tyler, Jake, and Max. And we are the Hybrids. Today we'll be discussing the movie and thriller, American Psycho. Starting things off is a synopsis of American Psycho by Tyler.
So the main character is Christian Bale, and he's playing Patrick Bateman. And throughout the movie, he's alternating between his psychopathic ego in between his daily life with coworkers who have no idea what's going on in his personal life.
So starting things off for us is Max, and he's going to be introducing our first topic.
I have all the characteristics of a human being. Flesh, blood, skin, hair. But not a single clear, identifiable emotion, except for greed and disgust. Something horrible is happening inside of me, and I don't know why. My nightly bloodlust has overflowed into my days. I feel lethal, on the verge of frenzy. I think my mask of sanity is about to slip.
Thank you, Ryan. So I wanted to start specifically with bringing attention to the very end of this quotation. I think my mask of sanity is about to slip. I wanted to ask exactly what you guys thought Patrick meant by this.
So I think this reminds me of that scene in The Shampoo where he's literally peeling off a mask of himself, but he's kind of like smiling and devilishly looking as he does it. And I think another part of this quote where he's like, my bloodlust has flown into my days from my nights. So he's aware that he's been doing it at night, but now he's like, it's too much. And I don't know where he draws the line between it's okay at night, now it's not okay in the day. I think that's he's a psychopath, but where is the line that he's personally drawing?
And see, my question specifically, is there a line and is he able to control it?
So one thing that I got from this quote, he may not be able to control it, but you can see that he's very well aware of the state that he's in. He knows that he is insane, and he knows that he is about to slip, and he knows that he wants to kill people, which is interesting because he's actually aware of like the person he is besides the fact that he's acting normal on the daily.
On that note, Max, it reminds me of a quote that I wrote down. In the beginning of the movie, Bateman says, I'm on the verge of tears by the time we arrive at escape. Since I'm positive we won't have a decent table, but we do, and relief washes over me in an awesome wave. I was just astounded, not only the sentence, but the fact that he was almost bursting into tears merely at the thought of not having a good table. What do you guys have to say about that?
So I think this is an interesting point because this is the first time the audience actually gets to see how psychotic Bateman is, and since this is at the beginning of the movie, I think it's going to be interesting to see, like, throughout the movie, like, all the little things and nitpicks that he has and wants to, like, talk about throughout the movie, so.
See, I personally found it very interesting because when, in fact, that is a very psychotic response to a relatively normal thing in a human's life. This was just the beginning of the psychotic human that we came to know throughout the movie, and I found it very interesting how the author of the book and the director of the movie made sure to include the scene because it really pointed out how it's the small things in life that really cause him to tick.
So one thing that I couldn't help but notice was that the main character's name is Patrick Bateman, and in the movie Psycho, the name of the motel is Bates Motel. And I was wondering if there was any connection or reason that this was incorporated into the movie.
So I think this is a little ode to the a Psycho classic, and I think the director of this movie tried to modernize it and like give it a new twist so the audience can, you know, relate to a new serial killer with psychotic ways. Here's a snippet of our most intriguing scene regarding business cards.
I can't believe that Bryce prefers Van Patten's card to mine.
But wait, you ain't seen nothing yet. Raised lettering, pale nimbus, white.
Impressive. Very nice. Let's see Paul Allen's card.
Subtle off-white coloring. A tasteful thickness of it. Oh my god. It even has a watermark.
Something wrong? Patrick? You're sweating.
So the biggest thing I drew from this scene is that it had a big parallel with Jake's scene earlier with sitting at the table. Because as you can see, Bateman takes a lot of pride and a lot of notice in the really small things. And you can see that it's super psycho... It's very, like, psychotic of him to take such interest in such a small thing. Like, when he says the tasteful thickness of it, and we're literally talking about business cards, and everything that he notices is just super interesting. So I wanted to see your guys' take on the scene and what you thought about it.
Yeah, I really like the director's choice to add this, because I think when you think of a horror movie, you think of scary, just complete killing, blood, and murder. And while Bateman does do that, the reason that he's psychotic is also because of his non-killing, more subtle irregularities, such as like his loving for business cards, or the way his movie taste, or he's always returning videotapes. It's all these little things that aren't these are what make it not a horror movie. It's a thriller, because you actually don't expect it. You don't know what's going to happen.
What I found incredibly peculiar about the scene was that it is not Bateman's obsession with the business card. It's what the business card means to him. His business card is his outer mask. It is what defines him. His business card is who he is. And this is why he feels incredibly threatened by the other fellow businessmen's business cards, because they, to him, seem to be superior, while in fact it's just a normal business card. No one really pays as much attention to it. The same way that he is so obsessed with his outer appearance is the same way he's obsessing over his business cards.
And this also goes back to the point where we see that Bateman, all he wants to do is fit in and not be a psychopath, but it's contradictory because he clearly wants his business card to be better than all of his partner's business cards, which is interesting because when he's in a taxi, he says that all he wants to do is fit in with the regular society, yet all he really wants to do is be better than everyone else. So you kind of see like him living two lives once again, his mass life and his personal life.
I think this is a way for him to find his next target on his serial killer like rant. Like, if anyone has a better business card than him, then this is the way for him to say, oh, I don't really like this guy. I think he's going to be the next one to die.
And so for me personally, to go back to Tyler's point about when he was in the taxi and he responds to his wife saying that he needs to work just so that he can fit in because that's what he wants, and then to respond to what Ryan's saying, I believe that he has these serial killer tendencies because he is trying to fit in. For him, fitting in is being the most superior male there is. For all these other individuals who seem to be threatening his high status, he takes that as a threat in him not being able to fit in, which is why he must eliminate them.
So going to this movie, the scene that I'd most heard of from my friends and family was this shampoo scene.
After I remove the ice pack, I use a deep pore cleanser lotion. In the shower, I use a water-activated gel cleanser. Then a honey almond body scrub. And on the face, an exfoliating gel scrub.
And I really, really enjoyed it because it just shows how different, how peculiar Bateman really is. Because when I take a shower, I don't even look at what the label is. And he has 8 different things just for his hair and another 10 for his face and his back and body. So it's just insane that a man would care so much about his appearance.
And I thought a funny part, although it was at the end of the movie, after Bateman goes on kind of like a killing spree, he kills like 10 people in a night, he comes back home, and that next morning, after that rampage, he goes into the shower and he does this exact routine, which is interesting because I don't know how any normal human could go around to kill 10 people and then still have like the composure to just go in the morning and shower and do what they usually do every day.
So I saw this intense shower routine as his way of curing himself of all these impurities and all the imperfections of his obviously imperfect mind. So there is obviously something going on psychologically with him, and I feel that his immense shower routine is him trying to wash and cleanse himself of his homicidal thoughts.
So we would all be psychopaths if we did not discuss whether the movie was real or not.
I believe the director made it ambiguous on purpose to lead to these kinds of discussions and this kind of thought, but if I ultimately did have to make a decision, I would say that
the great majority of the movie, and especially the big car chase scene and the killings at the end, are not real. My biggest example and my biggest reason for this is that 3 days or so after it, after the killings, Bateman goes to a lunch and he sees his lawyer and he talks to his lawyer and he says, he confesses, he says, I committed all these crimes, I killed this guy, I did all this. And then the lawyer's like, that's impossible. One of the guys you just named, I had lunch with a few days ago. And Bateman is just as surprised as the rest of us are as the audience. And so I think that shows he doesn't know what's happening and he thinks it's all happening. It's in his mind, but in reality, he never did kill any of those people.
So I'm going to have to agree with Jake in saying that the movie is not real. And my main example is going back to when Bateman goes to Paul Allen's apartment, which throughout the movie, we see that Paul Allen's apartment is where Bateman decides to hide all of his dead bodies and all the people that he kills. And he goes back after everything happens near the end of the movie, and he looks at the apartment, and it's completely clean, and it's up for auction. People are selling the apartment, and he goes into the closet where he used to hide the bodies, and it looks like nothing there happened. It was a completely normal apartment. So we see that part is clearly not true, which leads me to think that all of his murders and all of his executions were not true as well.
Okay, boys, like, I do see your standpoint and the point you're trying to prove, but I have to say that I completely disagree and that I will actually push towards the side that I will say that you're wrong. And this is specifically because you are both being incredibly hypocritical and your points are incredibly ironic. We're sitting here watching a movie and discussing the life and reality of the world from the point of view of a narcissistic psychopath who has schizophrenic tendencies. The man himself is unable to truly distinguish the difference between reality and fantasy. And to be completely honest, there was a scene in the movie at which he's at dinner discussing how it is our responsibility to help cure our society, to help the poor, to help the homeless, to help those struggling with famine and poverty. And he says this to only right after dinner go slaughter a homeless man, to completely senselessly slaughter a homeless man. And I find this incredibly ironic because we see him 100% defending himself and trying to prove to others that his dark side, that his psychopathic tendencies are actually false. So not only is he trying to help convince the others around him, but he's trying to convince himself that his murders are fantasy, which is why I believe in the end there are so many key points to the murders being fake, as he's sitting there convincing himself of that. And the mind's a very powerful tool, as this movie has shown us. Ryan, any thoughts?
So I'm going to have to agree with Jake and Tyler in saying that the movie is unreal 100%, because throughout the movie, he goes through all these phases of killing people and, you know, disposing of their bodies inside one of his business partner's house or apartment. And one of the things that really like hit it for me was in the movie when he is out and his assistant is in his office going through his calendar. She opens it and sees like all these drawings of bodies and like blood and gore and all these, you know, violent depictions of what he's been doing. And I think that was like the scenes that were taking place inside his head that he actually drew out on paper. So I think that he actually did not partake in these murders, although in his head he thinks he did because he drew it out. And this has been The Hybrids. And I want to close it off with the most memorable quote throughout the entire movie. Don't just stare at it, eat it. Thank you, signing off.